If I can't remember what I was going to recommend, just mention Hello Kitty, and that'll remind me.
I'm not going to remember Hello Kitty.
How can you forget Hello Kitty?
She's forgettable.
What?
She's forgettable.
What species is Hello Kitty?
She's a kitty.
Nope. Hello Kitty is a little girl. That is Sanrio's official biopic description of her.
I remember that, talking about that. It was like a year ago.
Hello Kitty's a little girl. And Bad Samaru is a little boy. The fact that they are in animal form is not their identity. She is not a cat and he is not a penguin. They are a boy and a girl.
I like Fizzcake.
Fizzcake.
All right. Fizzcake is actually rolling here, so I'm going to close this up.
I remember it was a big deal on Twitter when the Sanrio thing was like, no, she's a girl. And people were like, she's a cat. They're like, no, she's a... It's kind of like their version of the Donald, or not Donald, excuse me, the Goofy Pluto thing. Pluto is a dog. Goofy's a man.
Yeah. I don't know. Can somebody just explain Hello Kitty to me? Because the only thing I know about it is that it's something that shows up on pencil cases a lot. And apparently they had an MMO at one point.
They have everything. There's Hello Kitty everything. But it's just a kid show. Just your kind of generic, you know, here's happy people doing fun things. And they have personalities. Hello Kitty's the nice girl.
Do you not Baddest remember Maru is the Rainbow Bright?
Punk penguin.
Or the Strawberry Girl.
Strawberry Shortcake.
Yeah, Strawberry Shortcake. Yeah.
It's like My Little Ponies. It's just like harmless. They have little adventures in the end.
Except for this one is really more centered around in Japan is really where she's she's really big.
Yes. She's international. But it was,
but you know, when we were kids it was more of Japan.
It's almost
Japan
just like thing. A kid it's more like the Busy World of Richard Scarry. You know what I mean? Ooh. There was the kids' book. They were British ones, but you'd recognize. There's like a worm in an apple. Worm. Yeah, the worm in an apple as being one of the logo characters. Mm-hmm. But no, like they didn't like go on grand adventures or anything. It was just day to day life and little mini stories.
And also, I mean, the Richard Scarry thing had these beast people that I'm not sure exactly what animal they were supposed to be.
It's not like anything like Slim Goodbody.
No, not like that. Hey, you're not gonna ask that at all. Remember see the worm?
No,
no.
He doesn't recognize lowly worm.
I guess not. That's surprising to me.
Do not recognize
it. He's driving his apple car around.
No.
Yeah, it was a series of books, and then they had TV shows. But I mean, Hello Kitty was just based with that same kind of thing.
I don't think I ever saw the TV show. But I had several of the books.
The Aardvark.
Aardvark.
It was not Arnold, right? No, because that's Hey Arnold.
I think there was an Arnold the Aardvark. I don't know. Hey, welcome to Crippled System episode 236. My name is Andy.
Arthur. Arthur.
I never watched
Arthur
it either.
Arthur is an aardvark?
He's an aardvark, yeah.
I know. Okay.
Arthur.
But. You have kids, too. How do you not know this? I can understand me, because I grew up around it. But I don't...
Did you see Matt Damon when he was on Arthur?
No.
Matt Damon was on an episode of Arthur, and they decided to make him like a mixture of Matt Damon and an aardvark, and so he looked like that. That's what you get when you have Matt Damon cameo on Arthur.
That wasn't one of the shows that any of my kids loved. I mean, I've gone through the My Little Pony and the SpongeBob and the Phineas and Ferb.
Phineas and Ferb, good stuff.
Yeah, Phineas and Ferb. That was the thing about My Little Pony is I don't understand why people are so obsessed on that when Phineas and Ferb is so much better.
Somebody, was it Nate White? Maybe. Somebody on my Facebook group the other day posted like, FYI, if you don't have kids, you may not know about these shows. And it was Adventure Time was on there, of course. Gravity Falls, which I recommended multiple times on this podcast. Gravity Falls, it's fucking amazing.
The movie?
Yeah, sure. I'll say yes. What?
No, there's...
Is there a movie called Gravity Falls?
I think there is, yeah. I think it's a horror film.
Could be good. Not Star Wars: Force of Evil. What's the guy? And then like, there's all the other people are gems, and some of them are lesbians.
Steven Universe.
Yeah, Steven Universe was on there. Whatever. There's a lot of good shows. Mm-hmm. Gumball, fucking Gumball. I love Gumball. That show's great. I don't know if you've watched that. No. It is just. Do you like regular show?
I've watched it a couple of times. I mean, this is we don't have the whiteboard yet.
No, I know, but
to list media.
We're talking kids shows. I thought maybe it's
a
regular show.
Yeah, why didn't we bring a whiteboard?
Oh, I forgot to bring it. Yeah. But Gumball is insane. I literally it was my round two, and I was in the losers bracket because Rick's an idiot. But remember Rick's event at Last Square? I think you and Jim got clocked because by the master clock because the death clock was fucked.
Oh,
but he set me up on a table against Jeff Schultes.
Yes,
and it was a table he had forgotten to set up, so none of the terrain was like on it. There was like some pieces off on the side, and then it was just a 3-foot by 3-foot blank area, and I was facing Kara Sloan, and I got annihilated. And I was like, Rick, that terrain's terrible. He's like, oh, I forgot to set that table up. I was like, you son of a bitch.
Yeah, that death clock thing, I think, was... Oh, I remember there being an incident about it. I don't remember the details of the incident. I remember there being a thing.
Master clock went off, and you guys were double DQ'd. You got a double loss because you had like 10 minutes left on your clock. And he claimed that you guys just didn't start your clock on time, and you guys thought that his clock might have been shorter or something.
Yeah.
Doesn't matter. The point is, my round two, the up on the TV in the corner was playing Gumball, and that's the first time I'd seen it, and I literally clocked myself because I was watching the show instead of taking my turns.
Okay.
I stand by that decision.
All right.
You guys can introduce yourself. I already did mine.
Mm. Nathan.
I'm Dave.
Hey!
Yay!
We have an
announcement. Welcome to FizzGig System.
Hmm?
Welcome to FizzGig System.
Ah, I'm FizzGig. That's my FizzGig impression. I'm just going to leave Arthur right there with Matt Damon. He's smiling at me. And another picture. That's him and Arthur together. They're so happy.
That is. I hope Matt Damon. He's got kids. He's got to have kids.
Matt Damon.
So I mean, assuming those are both characters in the same world, which one of them is horribly deformed?
Because one of them has to be.
Because they don't look like each other.
Yeah.
That's Yo-Yo Ma. Why is Yo-Yo Ma a rabbit?
So what is it with people trying to make caricatures of Matt Damon and failing horribly? Because that's why Matt Damon is Matt Damon from Team America, is because they couldn't get his puppet right, so they that's when they just came up with the Matt Damon.
I like this description of it. Should we draw Matt Damon as human or as an aardvark? Yes.
Yeah, that's how the whole caricature of Matt Damon came about in Team America, is because they couldn't get the puppet to look right. It just looked a little off, and so they
rolled with it. They leaned into it.
Yeah.
Go with it.
And unfortunately, I don't know. I'm kind of curious what his feelings is about that.
He was on the show. Oh, no, not that. I was thinking of Arthur again. I'm sure he doesn't care. He's got enough money. He seems like a cool guy. He probably thought it was funny.
We have announcements. Do we have announcements?
Do we?
We have some announcements.
Do we?
We have at least two announcements.
Yeah. For example.
Example, 2/3 of this podcast is going to go see Judge Mathis.
So you might see us on Judge Mathis.
Yeah, sometime in the future. We're not litigants.
You don't know that. We can make it happen.
Mm-hmm.
I can sue you.
Well, we could.
Yeah. And we split the money.
Yeah, but the thing is that we actually have to file an actual suit.
Yeah, I already did that. Have you not been served yet? I mean, nothing. Make sure to say yes to anyone who asks if you're Andy Welton.
Yeah, no, I'm not Andy Welton. My name is Gordon Tremesco. I'm using your alibi now.
That's fine. That was, why am I blanking on his name? The actor from 30 Rock.
Oh, yeah.
Got a lady's name. What's the name?
Liz Lemon?
Not Liz Lemon. He took over Fear Factor.
He took over Fear Factor, or is the original Fear Factor?
No, because the original Fear Factor was what's
Joe Rogan.
Was not Fear Factor. Was the other one. The hidden camera where they scared people. I don't know. And they go, surprise, you're on Scary Times with Shannon TV? Doherty. No.
You said Shannon Doherty.
She was the original host. God damn it. It was a hidden camera thing, like candid camera.
Yeah.
They'd scare people.
Yeah. I think it's Scare TV.
There's not Scare TV.
It sounds right.
It's not
Fright Show.
Damn it.
I would say...
He almost died because of his feet.
Was it scary?
It probably was scary for him.
Because of his feet? Was this a gangrene thing?
I'm curious about this now. I care less about the stupid show that was on Sci-Fi TV.
Tracy Morgan. Tracy Morgan.
Oh, well, he almost died for other reasons other than his feet.
Yeah, but he got hit
by a drunk driver, didn't he?
But then before that, they almost had to amputate his feet and everything because he's diabetic.
Oh,
okay. And he had the, hey, my feet are not so good thing happen.
Oh, that's not good.
And he survived that. And then he got hit by a drunk driver. But Tracy Morgan, is it Fear Tactics?
That's Scare Tactics.
Scare Tactics? Cop Out? He was in Cop Out.
Not Scare
originally
Tactics.
Entitled A Couple of Dicks. That's true.
Yeah. It would have been better if it was called A Couple of Dicks.
Would have been better if it was good.
And interesting story about the Bruce Willis and Kevin Smith do not like each other.
Well, that's because Bruce Willis is a really shitty actor / person.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah, if you ever get to...
We have reached peak Bruce Willis a long time ago.
Yeah, see? Nick agrees that it's Scare Tactics.
It probably is Scare Tactics.
Yeah. Not very good. Well, it had some entertaining things.
It's fine, yeah, Scare Tactics. But
I've always wanted to see, you know, like how you see, like, the meme videos of, like, a guy jumping out of the garbage can and then just gets socked by somebody. I wanted stuff like that to happen on that show, and that never did. It's like they purposely maybe had a total of like 7 people go through their horror show thing, but the ones that actually reacted defensively, they probably cut. Because I remember like a lab equipment thing, like some guy
for somebody
running
to get
around.
Shot and
yeah.
Like
well,
that.
Remember Cheaters where the host got stabbed?
That's, yeah.
What?
Do you remember Cheaters?
I have seen the show. Yeah.
The host straight up got stabbed in one episode, just right in the gut, like on a boat. Like they confronted the guy. The guy's like, fuck you, and just gut stabbed him.
Yeah.
Yeah, they kept in the episode just him bleeding while clutching his gut. They just kept filming it.
I was going to say, did that make it actually? Did that it actually make it to the show?
Yeah. Dude, that's ratings gold. You do not cut your host getting stabbed.
Yeah, that's yeah. And I remember, if I remember correctly, the host was basically telling us to just keep filming.
Yeah,
keep filming.
Yeah.
I mean, you're out in the middle of in a boat. I mean, you're not going to be able to get help right then and there, so might as well.
That was like Mountain Dew ran an ad with a stunt that was fatal for one of the stuntmen because his mother wanted them to do it.
Oh,
they're like, he died for this. Don't let it be in vain, kind of thing.
Oh, was that, no? He would have say no. He would have wanted it to have aired. So go ahead and do it.
Yeah, Nick had mentioned that there was an episode of the show that where a driver pretended to kidnap a van load of people, and one guy on it was not with it.
No, he was not
or
in on it,
in
and he
on
went
it
in swinging.
Yeah. That's something that I would hope, if it was a situation like that, I would hope I would react heroically, but...
There he is, stabbed in a boat.
Yeah, a lot of people, more likely the human nature is to just hide for a lot of those. But I would like to hope that I would be able to react heroically in a situation like that.
I am a proud coward.
I'm saying that I would hope that I would be, but I would probably,
I don't even
be,
lie
I would
to
probably
myself.
Be duck and cover underneath a
no,
seat someplace.
No, it's, Dr. Smith from the original Lost in Space is like my patron saint. Oh, fuck yeah. Oh, yeah. There's a scene in Snakes on a Plane when like the giant like ball, like this like 30-foot python, anaconda, that's what it looks like. Anaconda's like coming up, and this guy picks up a yappy dog, like a little shih tzu, and just hurls it like a football straight to the snake.
Yeah.
Fuck yeah, that's me.
Yeah.
I'm okay with that.
Talk about seeing a bad movie in a theater. I would say...
Are we changing topics? Are we talking about a different movie now?
No, no. I'm just saying, I mean, like a bad movie as in it's not...
As in a great movie?
It is entertaining, yeah.
I will right now walk off this podcast forever if you dare impugn the honor of Snakes on a Plane.
No.
I saw that shit opening night.
Yeah.
There were people dressed up.
Yeah.
There was a guy dressed up as the plane.
I think you and I went together.
He had snakes
to see
on
this.
Him. He was dressed as the plane.
It was probably no. I'm not trying to disparage it.
How dare you?
But it was probably one of the best movie going experiences I have ever had in my life. Is going to see Snakes on a Plane. I don't know if it, I
a
think we
that,
saw it together.
We might have.
But it was the audience chanting along. also God, contains probably one of the best TV edits ever for a voice line. And we've talked about this before. Yeah. You know, I'm sick and tired.
I've had it.
With these monkey fighting snakes on this Monday to Friday plane.
Yeah, that's how you replace motherfucking twice. It's with monkey fighting and Monday to Friday. That is way up there with this is what happens when you forget a stranger in the Alps.
No, when you meet a stranger in the Alps.
Let's forget. Because it has the F for fuck. He says forget. I think it's forget a stranger in the Alps. I'll double check. I think it's forget a stranger in the Alps. This happens when you feed a stork scrambled eggs. What the fucking? Feed a stork scrambled eggs.
Yep. But what were you actually talking about? Oh, we were talking about announcements, and we were talking about going to see Judge Mathis. And that's going to be happening on Thursday this week, and I assume that the episode probably won't air for like another 6 months. I watch it every day, so I will let everyone know when my episode is up. Or they might be able to tell us when, you know, when it's going to be there.
Oh, we're both wrong. I was right that it's F, it's find. When you find a stranger in the Alps.
Yeah. It does change the whole the whole section of that film for the Big Lebowski.
He just scrambled eggs.
Judge Mathis, and the second announcement that we have is MuseonCon.
Mm-hmm.
That's coming up on the 18th.
Yep.
The weekend of the 18th, starting Friday, which is, I think, the 17th.
In the desolate wastelands of Des Moines, Iowa.
Friday is the 18th.
Friday is the 18th?
Yes. Yeah. I know, because this coming Friday is the 11th.
That is correct. Yes.
Mm. Yes. Well, this coming Friday is definitely the 11th. This coming Friday better fucking be the 11th, or else a lot of things are going to be bad for me.
Yeah, because the 10th is Judge Mathis.
Sure.
Yes.
But more importantly, the 11th is my wife's birthday. And so if that was not the day I thought it was, it would be very bad.
Yeah, yeah. That would that'd be an issue that you would have to deal with, not us.
Yeah, whatever, fucker. That's healthy, man.
I liked how you worded your housewarming thing is where your wife is turning to age ends with a zero.
Yeah, those are the ones you really care about.
So forever 30.
Sure.
Yep.
She doesn't care. She's been using it as an excuse forever. Like, whenever I'm like, it's your turn to, like, take a dog for a walk, something like that. She's like, no, I'm an old woman. I'm 50. I can't do this stuff. I'm like, fuck you. No, you're not. Like, I will be. It doesn't count. For 4 more days, her bitch ass can't use that excuse.
And then MuseonCon. It's going to have events for everything. War Machine, Batman, Hordes, Guild Ball. Blood Bowl.
Deciding if I'm going to get out there early enough for the Champions event or just do the Masters.
Masters, I think, is on Saturday.
Yeah.
Yeah. There'll be a snake draft for Guild Ball on Sunday that I'll be running.
Probably do Masters because Champions sucks.
Yeah, I'm not a... I like the idea of it. I don't... Yeah. No, I will say, though, I mean...
I'm being hyperbolic, but it is less... popular. I'll say that as a factual statement.
Because the ADR roster for season 7 is terrible. Season 8, I think, fixes a whole... Season 8 champions, I'm actually interested in playing. Season 7, it's like, yeah, maybe I'll put together a Denny 2 list or just play Ilara 2 because...
Doesn't Masters use ADR? Or if you use ADR, you still get the...
Yeah,
things?
Okay. Yeah, but it's extremely uncommon that people actually are. I shouldn't say extremely uncommon, but it's rather uncommon that people actually take advantage of specialists because the roster is so bad.
Yeah, I agree with a lot of folks, and I understand why hardcore went away, but it seemed like hardcore was a really big factor in a lot of people's play, and I think their shift towards more of a friendly hobby aspect in gameplay.
Yeah.
That's what Privateer seems to be heading towards. Yeah. I can see why hardcore would go away. Cause I mean,
I don't even know that there's that there's that much of a shift for it. It's just that with the change to the season 8 champions, there's a point to it. Because, I mean, the Season 7 is... the problem with Season 7 champions is basically you look at the roster and it's like, oh, Denny 2 is on here and most other factions have terrible casters. I mean, there's like Denny 2 and Alara 2 and Magnus 2, and like those are the only good casters.
Magnus 2, the original Denny 3.
Yep.
If you replace his model with a dead lady with spikes and leave everything else on the card the same, he was Denny 3.
Oh, really? All
right. I mean, when you like play style wise, he plays like a Denny, is the point I'm trying to make.
That
You know, like he's got the debuff, he's got the hold you in place feat, he's got the arcing of the attack spells. He was straight up a Denegra with a gender change and the wrong faction.
It's kind of like Arcadius. It felt very Crixian.
Yeah.
As well. There's another caster that came out recently too. Cross. Cross 2 feels like he should be in Crix.
Well, I mean, in Retribution, they called her Lich Lord Alara forever.
No, sure.
Sure. Oh, I forgot to bring the whiteboard. I'm a failure.
That's fine.
Those are two unrelated statements.
No, okay.
Forgot to bring the whiteboard, and I'm a failure.
Oh.
No, the season eight roster is chosen much better than any previous ADR roster has. So there's actually, because it's actually a lot of, instead of all of the power casters, it's a lot of A tier casters. So, I mean, I think Champions is a perfectly reasonable format now. Once the season 8 hits, and for season 7, it's going to be a Denny 2 withon, I think.
It's bullshit now that Convergence has two of their casters not on the ADR. That's insane. I don't know how you can function with two casters locked off.
Or at least is one of them Orion out this time?
I don't even know.
I think Orion's on it.
Yeah, it would make sense, but I know that they changed away from making the new casters automatically on the ADR.
Yeah, but I think they'll still be preferential towards having them on ADR the next season that rolls around.
Yeah.
Yeah, the only hard and fast rule in the last week in CID is that your faction's most recent Battlebox caster will always be on it.
Sure. One thing I forgot to mention to you guys. So I ran a poll over on Patreon to ask our Patreons kind of something we should do for the next month for content. Because, you know, we've been lacking in actually putting out other content other than this podcast. And then once in a while, a Lost Aspect podcast if they ever get together. So I only got two responses back from it. But consider we only have...
We should record a game.
Well, that's one of them.
We used to do that all the time.
We used to do it all the time.
Season 1, I can't find a season 8 roster or anything. I just keep getting links to season 7.
It was a CID document.
Oh, okay. Never mind then. That's
so. I think we could two for it.
Mm-hmm.
So I had a battle report for War Machine Hordes. That was one of the options. A battle report for Guild Ball, which is an option.
You were to play a War Machine list against a Guild Ball list. That's your twofer?
No.
Okay.
A horrible movie pain train.
Sure.
Which we'll follow it up with like a list of movies that we could put in there. Like the new Robin Hood film. Have you seen a trailer for that piece of shit yet?
No.
There's a new Robin Hood film. Another one.
Why?
Exactly.
You know who people don't care about?
Robin Hood. Actually, I cared. I like the Kevin Costner Prince of Thieves one.
No, I'm not saying that there haven't been previous. Like, right now, you go ask people in the streets, hey, who should we have a movie based on? No one's like, fucking Robin Hood, man.
Yeah, I don't see any Robin Hood, like, gangs in that. Yeah. So, battle report for God Tier. That was another option I gave. Video gameplay stream. So, like, something we'll get together and, you know, do, like, a Minecraft thing again.
Sure.
Which, to be honest with you, that was a lot of fun. But it's just time-wise. We could actually
do
that.
It took us
now.
Like 2 fucking hours to find a mine in Minecraft. Bad map.
And then like 30 minutes of me just fucking around with you in your mine.
Yeah, well, because I found an entrance and then you just dug in the middle of nowhere to try to get in a back door.
And then I demined part of it and you're like, where the fuck is my entrance out of here? it was fun.
I named the mine like Sebastian or something.
Yeah, you did. Because it was in the middle, you were watching.
Good name for a mine.
Okay.
And then a full-on drunk cast. So there's only 2 people that voted. So one is a full-on drunk cast.
Sure.
And the other one is a horrible movie pain train.
Sure.
So we could probably just go movie pain train, record pain train as we're drinking, and then do a podcast right afterwards.
Well, because I used to do full-on drunk video game recording all the time.
Yeah.
We could just add drinking to any of the options there, too, and I would be fine with that. We don't have somebody on the podcast that's no longer abhorrent to drinking.
Oh, yeah, I never. Yeah.
I didn't use that word right.
You did.
I did?
Okay. Kind of. Well, who finds drinking abhorrent? Yeah. Use it backwards, but whatever. Yeah, yeah no, because
I don't think drinking has a severe problem with anybody that's been on the podcast.
It might. I've been thinking about doing another an updated faction thing.
Oh, okay.
Remember like I did for Minions and whatnot in Mark 2, where I went through the entire faction.
Yeah, I think that would be worth doing.
Yeah, and I got reasonably drunk doing that. I did not get... Jeremy got annihilated doing Legion. He was destroyed.
It would almost be worth it to see if we could try to get Jeremy to come in and do a faction. I mean, he's been out of the game for well over a year to give him...
He'll just give his react... Like, he'll read it and go, that's unplayable trash.
Yeah. I'd be fine with that, too. Literally Jeremy anything. Is kind of fun.
Oh, can't be. Kind of.
Kind of. It's a little obnoxious.
Well, sober Jeremy is obnoxious, so the drunk had no effect on that.
So hopefully, the poll is going to go out live. I just put it to our Patreons. I don't know if they actually got notified for it.
Put recorded games and drunk faction overview.
Mm-hmm.
I like both of those ideas.
You don't want to do a horrible movie patron?
Oh, you can do that too.
Yeah. I did, honestly, when I was making the poll, I just got done watching the trailer for the new Robin Hood. It's
fucking really? Why?
I don't understand it. Because I mean,
cares.
Because didn't what's his name? The heavy one from Gladiator. Now
he is heavy now. Yeah. Did you see the thing where the lady's like, "Are you going to save that for your next divorce?" He was on like an Australian TV like show because he's selling a bunch of his stuff to pay for a divorce, and he pointed a thing that he wasn't going to sell, and she's like, "Oh, are you saving that for your next divorce?" Like, man, harsh.
Why can't I not think of his name?
Russell Crowe.
Russell Crowe, yes. Because we just had a Robin Hood with him, and that's within 5 years, I think. Was it?
No, I think it was longer than that. I can double check. But, well, you got Jamie Foxx as Little John?
What?
That's fine. I don't care about
like Jamie Foxx just fine, but like the little is supposed to be ironic.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I liked probably my favorite Little John is the Little John with his pimp cup and no, but my favorite Little John is
see he should have been in this. What? Okay.
My John favorite impression. is Michael McShane, I think it is.
He was Friar Tuck, not Little John.
Oh yes, okay, yeah. Yes, okay, yeah.
But I am a big Mike McShane fan.
Yes,
always loved him in the original. Whose Line Is It Anyway? The British one.
Yep. He was in Office Space as well. He was a doctor. He needs to be in more shit because he is awesome.
Oh, the guy from Kingsman.
Kingsman.
The guy from Kingsman is Robin Hood. Yeah. He's got tertiary billing. He's below Little John and Will Scarlet.
Yeah, I just... there's no reason to make it. And they're making it as like a giant action film. And they already have, in the trailer itself, a big spoiler of the film. Like, come on.
I mean, that's what trailers do.
Yeah. Unlike the Infinity War trailer. I like their marketing with that.
That they made shit up. It was 2010 is when his Robin Hood came out.
It's really not that long ago. At least it doesn't feel like that long ago.
Because we're getting old.
He ballooned up really recently because he was not that big in Nice Guys, and that was only in 2016.
I didn't like Nice Guys. It might have been the company I saw it with.
Man, you keep pushing shit today. I swear to God. I mean, Nice Guys is vastly worse than the exact same film by the exact same director, which was Kiss Kiss Bang Bang.
Never seen it.
At least you didn't say you didn't like it. We had this
discussion before already.
I haven't seen it either, so.
Oh, Kiss Kiss Bang Bang is legit one of the greatest films ever made. It is astoundingly good.
What's it about?
It is like a detective thing that subverts the fuck out of detective thing. It's okay. I cannot recommend it highly enough. It is so good. It is Robert Downey Jr. before he was resurged with Iron Man, so he was still doing like little indie stuff, and he is amazing in that. Val Kilmer's amazing in that. He's got just great dialogue. Like Val Kilmer's talking to Iron Man, and he's like, "You know what you'll find if you look up the definition of the word idiot in the dictionary?" And he's like, "Oh, a picture of me?" He's like, "No, you'll find the definition of the word idiot, which you fucking are." It's like, that's dialogue.
No, I need to see it. I just haven't.
I always like when people are accidentally shot in the face.
Oh, Nick was asking if a 5 a.m. Fortress America recording one for an option on the poll.
Yeah, that's fine.
I mean, we did a 2 a.m. Was it 2 a.m.?
Two or three.
It was something at like 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning to go and play Fortress America at Nathan's.
Yeah, that's a good game, too. It was a nail biter.
It was, yeah.
It came down to like one die roll. Like, if I'd hit one more time with my lasers, I could have stopped you guys, but it missed. And
yeah, I don't remember the ending. It's a good game.
No, that I just told you.
I mean, you told me what happened, so if I watched it, it'd be amazing. But didn't have very good recording on that. We're working on getting better equipment.
It was very Blair Witchy. It was the handheld gorilla camera.
That was the best part, though, was the shot of Nathan getting up out of bed.
I was confused.
We stormed his bedroom. Hey, Nathan, get up. And then they're like, what?
It was great because they're like, they pounded their own, like, Nathan, wake up. And they go, you want to play Forge America? I go, yeah, okay. Because that will always be my answer.
Oh, that was great, because Raylene was completely in on that, too.
There's like 3 or 4 board games I will never say no to.
What are the other ones?
The most recent entry is Three Kingdoms Redo, or Redux. I think it should be pronounced Redo. I think the X should be silent, but apparently it's Redux.
It's got ducks in it?
Yeah.
Just 3 ducks in a kingdom? So like, no, there's like a mallard, there's, you know, a wood duck, and... another duck.
It was all mallards.
Oh, okay.
But it didn't work out, which is why it has to be redux.
Oh.
They have to go through a second time putting different ducks into there.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'm having a hard time thinking of another duck.
There's Huey.
No. Screw those.
There's Dewey.
No.
There's Louie.
They don't wear pants. What the fuck is wrong with the duck family?
Would you wear pants if you didn't have to? So they are blessed enough to live in a place where pantsless living is accepted.
True.
So, if I lived in Deckburg, I'd be freeballing it all the time. Save money, keep cool.
No, there's something wrong with them.
Fair.
I mean, Launchpad wears pants.
Yeah, maybe something's wrong with him. Like, of all the characters on those shows, Launchpad's the one you're going to say is the sane one?
Well, not the sane. Well, he's... At least the one wearing pants. Okay, are you saying that he's insane and that's why wearing pants is crazy?
Yeah.
In the DuckTales world?
Every character on that show doesn't wear pants except Launchpad McQuack, who is the dumb one. Like, and then you got one other person wearing a kilt. And the ladies have dresses, but their dresses end at like the equivalent of their waist. So it's more like tube tops.
No, the dresses, they go down.
Their tails are hanging out the back. Like, their booties are just hanging out the back of those dresses. They don't go down to their legs.
You are right. I'm trying to think in my mind of DuckTales. So you're going to be looking up DuckTales now?
I was just going to... Wasn't her name Morgana Macabre? Was that the evil one?
Oh, the
witch, yeah. On DuckTales.
Yep.
It's not. It's not.
That game is amazing, by the way, too. And the remaster is pretty goddamn good.
Oh yeah, that game was great.
Did you get a chance to play the remaster of it?
I have not played the remaster.
It is worth every dime, you put into it, because it plays exactly like the Capcom version, like the old school DuckTales.
Her name was Magica Dispel. That's a lame name. Was the one? Well, I was mixing up because Morgana Macabre. Yeah, that's Magic of the Spell. I was thinking that was Morgana Macabre, but apparently Morgana Macabre was Darkwing's Elvira ripoff girlfriend.
Mm.
So she was the good witch, whereas Magica de Spell was the bad witch.
There's no Count Duckula.
No. He won't bite a piece of man because he's a vegetarian. That's from the theme song to Count Duckula.
Yeah. Do you remember Count Duckula now?
I remember Count Duckula, yes.
Do you remember what show he was attached to?
Is that Darkwing Duck?
No.
No, because Count Duckula is a British one.
Yep. It starred
I would get up at like 5 in the morning as a kid.
Danger Mouse.
Yeah.
Yeah, Mouse, buddy.
Yes. Like at 5 in the fucking morning on Nickelodeon, they would play Danger Mouse and Mr. Wizard.
Okay.
Back to back. How come, like, as kids, we would wake up at like 5 in the fucking morning and now I want to sleep till noon? Like,
yeah. Well, I was always up late as a kid, too. So,
well, your Saturday morning cartoons, you had to be up in time for Transformers.
Yeah.
Transformers wasn't really a Saturday morning cartoon, though. That was an after school or beginning school cartoon.
All right, fine.
I was always late to school because I was watching Transformers because it went from 7 to 7:30. And I had to walk to school after that.
I was late to my paper route because I would get home and watch the Disney afternoon block. With Tailspin, sure. Gummy Bears, Darkwing Duck, yeah. DuckTales.
Yeah, my Saturday morning cartoons really consist of more of like Hanna-Barbera stuff, Herculoids. I remember my dad was a police officer and he used to work the third shift. And so he'd be getting at home about 6 o'clock in the morning. And then about 2 hours later, I'd wake him up to make him watch Thundar the Barbarian with me.
Yeah. You'd think he would have just stayed up 2 hours longer to cut the chase, but I guess the 2 hour nap ain't worth nothing.
which he did, I greatly thank him. And that's Thundar is probably like one of my favorite properties back then, which would be amazing if they would make into. Well, it would probably be horrible. But this day and age, I think they could do it right.
And they would just have to get AC/DC to do the theme song.
For Thundar?
Yeah. Literally just change the one sound in the opening of Thunderstruck.
Hmm. Do you remember the characters?
Thundar!
Yeah.
He had like a little blob or something.
No. He didn't have a blob. That was a Hercules.
I know.
That was Igu.
Yeah, I don't give a shit about Thundar because I'm not 50 old man. I don't know. I'm just being mean. I actually don't know much of anything about Thundar, except that he's not He-Man.
Yeah, he was basically kind of a ripoff of He-Man. I mean, like one of the.
I don't even know which one came first, but yeah, I mean, it was
I want to say Thundar probably came first.
I would actually think Thundar probably came first and was a legit cartoon, because Hanna-Barbera made legit cartoons, and then other people were like, hey, let's do that, except toys.
It might have been around the same time, but I know that Thundar, well, he carried around a sun sword. It was around Star Wars because he had a sun sword.
Yeah.
And it had the time there.
Yep.
1980. So now look up He-Man.
He-Man's at least 83, 84.
Yeah.
I want to say. Or maybe 80, 82. But Thundar had two people with him. Basically, there was Ariel and Ookla. And Ookla was a complete Wookiee ripoff. And Ariel is just a wizard.
1982.
Yeah.
1982 for the toys and comics and 83 for the television series.
Yeah.
So, yes.
The toys and comics were actually really dark. I remember watching a documentary that had, like, telling of the Masters of the Universe, how they came about.
I'm double-checking that I remember the right thing, because one that I always forget that I watched, but that I did watch, was, Brave Star.
Brave Star. I remember.
He was a Native American sheriff on Mars. who he would have like the strength of the bear or the eyes of the hawk or the speed of a he would say whichever power he needed and he would gain that spirit. And then I love this picture. It said Brave Star at his sidekick slash mount because he had a talking horse named 30-30. Yeah, I watched Brave Star. That's basically just BoJack Horseman but blue.
God damn. That looks really cheesy.
It's cheesy as shit. I guarantee if I bothered to look up an episode of Brave Star, it is the worst hot garbage ever, and I ate it up as a kid.
Yeah, I tried watching some He-Man, old school He-Man episodes, and they do not stand up. And my parents were right that show was crap, but I ate it up like no one's business when I was a kid. Did not watch much of Thundercats as a kid, though. We had cable, and they were not on cable. We were one of the rich families or maybe it was the other way around.
I watched a lot of I watched Thundercats. I loved Galaxy Rangers.
That sounds really familiar too.
I mean, Thundercats, yeah. I mean, obviously.
Mm. I was more into He-Man though. And
Galaxy Rangers was awesome though.
I mean, you can be into He-Man and Thundercats.
No, they were not on the same channel. They were on different channels. I think Thundercats was on Fox.
You were channel loyal. It wasn't on Fox. Fox didn't exist then.
Whatever channel they ended up eventually turning into Fox on the antenna dial.
Yeah, I don't know.
Because we had one of those awesome antenna dials for our house.
Did it have the vice grip on it because you'd broken the dial off? Because ours did.
No, we didn't do that. But I remember turning it, and then we always had like the set spots on there, and you just hear the antenna moving on the roof, and like the engine,
or sure,
the motor running. Yeah, so moving point in the right direction.
And then, you know, plenty of ones that I watched when I was technically too old to be watching shit. Like, who didn't watch Gargoyles? I mean, come on.
I didn't.
Why not, man? Gargoyles legit.
I didn't like watching Star Trek The Next Generation, the animated series.
You should have watched Star Trek The Next Generation, the animated series.
I didn't realize there was an animated series for The Next Generation. I watched the original.
No, it's called Gargoyles.
Gargoyles, the show, like,
like
almost 80? Literally everyone from Next Gen is in Gargoyles as a voice actor. Marina Sirtis is on there. Okay. Worf's on Michael there. Riker's on there. Data's on there. Yep. They're all fucking on there. Like, they just took the cat. They just took the cast. And like,
we got you over here. You guys don't even have to get out of costume. Just come into this booth and talk a little bit.
We'll draw you as a monster. Go, go, go. It was legit. Like, it was not a lot of cartoons.
Keith David
have like ongoing.
Keith David was a main character in there, wasn't it?
Yeah, Keith David was the main gargoyle. Yeah, yeah. And so that's how you know good. Also, when you got Keith David involved.
Yeah.
But yeah, like having ongoing plot lines and pretty ballsy stuff because it opens with just genocide, basically.
That's Disney too, I think.
Yeah, that was Disney Channel.
Yeah.
The important thing, if you ever do go like, hey, I should watch Gargoyles, is there's like, I think like three seasons or whatever, and then they have a season that's called like the Goliath Chronicles, and just stop.
Stop at the Goliath Chronicles?
There's a point where like things, no, just stop.
Oh. So I have one other issue. Nathan and I discussed it a little bit before the podcast. It's something that came up recently in news. We were talking about, Bill Cosby just got expelled from the Academy because of, you know, things that he did.
Because he's a rapist?
Yes.
Yes.
So, interesting fact, also expelled from the Academy at the same time is Roman fucking Polanski.
Also a rapist.
Also a rapist.
Yes.
Also was supported by the Academy for a very fucking long time after his...
I have been angry for the last 30 years about Roman Polanski, and so sure, it's a little late, but at least they're finally fucking like, oh.
I find it really obnoxious that it, you know, it's just now that they're finally taking action on him.
Yeah.
1978 was when it occurred.
It was 1978, I was saying, because he's made a lot of movies since then.
Correct. Out of the country, because he's been on the France. Fucking run since then.
Yeah, well, not even they don't even have. He doesn't have to run. France has just been saying no.
To any kind of extradition. Yeah,
it's one time he almost got extradited was when he actually did go on the run. In as much as he left France to go to Switzerland, and they nabbed him. Switzerland does have extradition.
Yeah,
but they declined to do so also, and then sent him back to France.
Yeah, it just. I mean, good on the Academy for actually finally taking action on that. Bad on the Academy for sitting on it for fucking 30 years.
What? For almost 40 50. Year.
Yeah.
No, almost 40. Well, yeah, almost 40 years. 40 years, because 78, so it is almost exactly 40 years. Yeah. Mm-hmm. But whatever, at least we finally reached a point where they're like,
fuck.
I mean, you know, it takes 40 years.
Where people might experience some form of consequences 40 years after the fact.
But I mean, like, honestly, if nothing came about the Cosby thing, he would still be part of the Academy. I highly doubt that, like, part of their agenda this year was to expel him from the Academy. And they're like, well, this is happening, so we might as well just slip this in there too.
Yep.
And I it's
on the other side of that. Who the fuck honestly cares about the Academy?
Yeah, it's true too.
I love watching. I love the concept of the Oscars because I love movies. But I understand.
You said you love the concept.
I even love watching the Oscars, but I hate watching because I don't give two shits about their opinion, and I can correctly predict every single winner every year because it has nothing to do with quality.
Yeah,
pretty much.
It is thinly veiled lifetime achievement awards and political statements.
Well, I mean, that was also. I don't think I've watched the Oscars since Shakespeare in Love beat out Saving Private Ryan for the film of the year.
Titanic beat L.A. Confidential.
Oh yeah, there's that.
Jesus too. Fuck. L.A. Confidential is one of the best movies ever, and I know that's the second movie I've said that about, but that's fine. Many movies can be one of the best movies ever. That's why I said one of, not the. But fucking A, Titanic, and it's so telling because. You look at the 11 Academy Awards that Titanic got, and it is 10 purely technical awards. It's shit like best costume and best, yeah. And it deserved every one of those. I will not begrudge any of that stuff. Although best costume, the Academy Awards has a giant fucking hard on for period pieces. Like you're like, oh look, you made a movie set in the 1920s, and you had your people wear suits that were from the 1920s. Here's your Oscar.
But didn't 12 Monkeys win best costume? I think.
I can check on that, but interesting that you mentioned 12 Monkeys because my example is going to be a Terry Gilliam one because yes. Some shit like, you know, The Adventures of Shakespeare in Shakespeare Land where everyone wears Shakespeare costumes won best costumes the same year that The Imaginarium of Dr. Parnassus came out. And it's like, fucking A, man. Terry Gilliam films are so extremely amazing to look at. Their costumes. Fuck you, the Academy.
I don't know. At least they're not as bad as the Grammys.
No, I don't even care about the Grammys.
Well, that's the story. I mean, I'm a Jethro Tull fan, and Jethro Tull once won a Grammy
for Hard Rock Metallica.
Over Metallica.
Excuse me.
And the best part of that was that they had somebody random to accept it for them because none of them showed up to the show because they assumed it was an error that they were nominated for that category. And
it was best Hard Rock. I think it wasn't like a metal performance. I think it was hard rock. They didn't have metal yet.
Exactly.
No, it was hard rock and heavy metal.
Correct. It was a combo thing. Yeah. Heavy metal hadn't been at all. And then they shoehorned it in as part of a shared category. And then it became its own category the next year. And so in that brief window, Jethro Tull was harder metal than Metallica.
Yeah, but I mean, Jethro Tull did not show up to the Grammys because they assumed that it was a typographical error that they were nominated in that category.
Their music, you know, I mean, Aqualung is a decently hard song until it isn't.
Well, I mean, if you put that album as a metal album, I could get that. But the one they won the album they won the Grammy for was Crest of a Knave, which is not.
Well, you know.
I mean, people would be upset if you called Aqualung heavy metal, but...
At least it has the guitar at the beginning that's somewhat hard.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And Locomotive Breath has a badass flute solo.
It does. It does. And it's got a very good... It has a nice beat to it.
I think all three of us unironically love Jethro Tull, but...
I don't listen to him as much, but it's not something I'm going to be like, oh, turn off the station. No.
The whole Aqualung LP is really good. Cross-Eyed Mary, and it's good stuff.
Yeah, again, because I mean, as I said, I mean, between Aqualung, Cross-Eyed Mary, and Locomotive Breath, you could call that album metal and get away with it.
Correct.
But you couldn't do that for Crest of a Knave, the album that actually won a heavy metal Grammy.
The only reason I know Cross-Eyed Mary is because Iron Maiden did a cover of it.
Also, if you haven't heard the 40th anniversary remastered version of Aqualung, it is the whole album. It is really good.
But at least the Grammys made it up to Metallica by playing one of their songs when a different band won.
Yeah.
did I show that to you? Or did
I've,
you
see I've seen it.
The Megadeth, when Megadeth won, finally won their Grammy, that they fucking start playing Master of Puppets in the background. Oh, I love
and
that.
And there's
too.
A brief awkward pause where you can tell the band's like wait. Keep going, guys. Producer says keep going.
All right, we're going to turn it into this hybrid of just metal.
Yeah, it's just like there's a pause and it keeps going and then it becomes generic.
Yep.
But you can't hide the opening 5 seconds.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. No, it starts off.
Wait.
Yeah. It actually has that almost a very audible, like when you're playing Guitar Hero and you fuck up a note on there, it has a very, very audible kind of like that in there as they're like, oh, oh shit. Pick up the pace. Let's make it thrashier.
Yeah. Good times.
And that's announcements.
Speaking of metal, I'm going to do it now because it's topical. My recommendation, which I keep thinking I've already recommended it because I've recommended it various other places, but I'm 99% sure I haven't mentioned it on here because last week I did Quiet Place, and the week before that, last week I did Quiet Place, and the week before that we didn't record, and the week before that I did something else. Anyway, Aggretsuko. Did I mention Aggretsuko?
I don't know what it is.
Aggretsuko?
I have no idea what that is.
Sanrio, the makers of Hello Kitty, have a show that is now on Netflix, the first season. It's a 10-episode season, I believe, and they're only like 15-minute episodes, so you can marathon that thing in a day. It's only a couple hours long.
Sure.
Aggretsuko, from the makers of Hello Kitty. She is a red panda. She's your typical 25-year-old office employee, hates her commute to work, hates her boss, works way too hard for the little bit of money she gets, and every once in a while she flips the fuck out and sings heavy, like Cookie Monster screamy death metal.
Okay.
And it's amazing. It's like if Hello Kitty hulked out and turned into Pantera.
Pantera.
It's beyond that. It is death metal. But it's just, but even beyond those little snippets of her singing death metal and talking about lightning, grant me your vengeance and murder my boss on the golf course, hit the club and kill him. It's cute. It's fun. It lampoons a lot of stuff about hating your job and working in a cubicle. And it's actually has plot development over the 10-episode season.
I like comedic death metal. And that's, I generally do not like the style of music. Like I can't just listen to it normally. But if it's a part of a show, or if it has a concept that works.
More importantly, it isn't whole songs, because I also hate that style of metal. But it isn't whole songs. It is 10-second punchlines to situations where she flips out, and the lyrics she sings are what we all think in those situations.
Sure. There's like a Vine guy that used to do something like that with
lemons.
Not that. That's easily one of the best the best Vines ever made is Will Sasso's Vines, though. But Jake Holland, I think it is, has his own like metalizing up something, like some kind of poppy, and then puts in a little Napalm Death into it. It's entertaining. But I do like comedic death metal.
She's cute, and then she gets angry.
So kind of like...
she's cute, and then she gets angry.
Sure, that's actually, I think that's Dimmu Borgir, maybe.
What?
Dimmu Borgir.
Derber Burger?
That's it's one of the death metal bands.
Oh.
I was looking at the eye makeup. I think that's... Or Immortal, I think. I know a lot about... know enough about them, but I really don't like that style of music.
Yeah.
I don't know what it is.
No.
But Death Clock, on the other hand, for Metalocalypse, that's amazing. Yeah.
But no, it's on Netflix. You should check it out.
Then the other one, though, is Austrian Death Machine.
Well, sure.
Which,
unfortunately,
is an unfortunate because the creator of that.
Speaking of Roman Polanski,
speaking
of the need to distance art from the creator of
the
art.
Correct. Yes.
He did not drug and rape a 13-year-old girl.
No, he just put hired a hitman to kill his wife and his daughter.
Yeah, just
that's it. Yeah.
We are not going to get into a discussion about which is worse.
No.
Reverse.
No, I'm not talking about which is worse, but that's really kind of made me not like his product. And Austrian Death Machine at the time was really cool. So he would take Arnold Schwarzenegger taglines, his quotes for movies, and then build songs around them. So his songs like Get to the Choppa, you know, Rubber Baby Buggy Bumpers.
I love the Come on, Cohagen, you got what you wanted. Give these people a ya, spelled appropriately.
Correct.
It's like A E Y A.
Yeah, and they're actually really catchy and pretty awesome. But and that's kind of the same thing about Pantera as well. That fuck him. When you're out celebrating with a bunch of friends, the life of your fellow bandmate who was tragically killed.
Okay, I lied. E-H-Y-A-R. Give these people A-R.
Yeah. So the Phil Anselmo thing is like he was off at a tribute show to Dimebag Darrell, passed mm-hmm. away, was murdered on stage many years ago. But he was up there giving Nazi salutes and yelling white power.
Excuse you. There's a simple explanation for that.
Correct.
It was all a misunderstanding.
Yeah, it was all a misunderstanding. He was saying white power because they were drinking white wine backstage, and the white wine was giving them power. So he was up there just, you know, telling them white power, but it was the white wine that was...
White wine. It's like Red Bull gives you wings. White wine gives you power. But that was too many words to say. So he was just shouting white power while waving to someone in the back very emphatically.
Yeah. Yeah.
Nice.
That makes perfect sense when you think about it.
Yeah, especially considering like his history of being close to the that side of things. Yeah.
A Nazi.
Yeah, a Nazi. Yeah.
Here you go. So the Double Brutal album had such great songs as I Need Your Clothes, Your Boots, and Your Motorcycle.
Mm-hmm.
Let Off Some Steam, Bennett. It's Simple If It Jiggles Its Fat. See You at the Party, Richter. Who Told You You Could Eat My Cookies? Put Those Cookies Down!
Yeah, but that's...
Which is not... People think that is from Kindergarten Cop. That's actually from Jingle All the Way.
Correct.
When he calls home and Phil Hartman is eating his cookies. Come On, Cohagen, Give These People Air. Who Is Your Daddy? What Does He Do? Come On, Do It, Do It. Come On, Come On, Kill Me, Do It Now. Who Allow Me to Break the Ice? Conan, What Is Best in Life? And the thing is, the lyric, it isn't just that the title is that, like the actual lyrics to the song incorporate these things. It's a good album. It's a shame that he hired someone to try to murder his wife and child.
Was it Total Brutal, or you had
that's
you had
the double brutal. Brutal? I'm sorry, did I say Total Brutal? It's double. This is Double Brutal that I'm looking at here.
Double Brutal is probably that's. I actually like that one better. Is I'm a cybernetic organism, living tissue over a metal endoskeleton. Yeah, Rubber Baby, Buggy Bumpers. You have just been erased.
Also, speaking of Cookie Monster, screamy death it's metal that not I a hate. Tumor.
What was that?
Local Madison area band Growing just released their newest studio album and had a very successful performance at the High Noon Saloon yesterday. And if you are into Cookie Monster screamy death metal, that's terrible. But, I mean, it isn't terrible. The genre's terrible, but this is good within that genre.
Is that you should buy Growing's
new album. Huh?
Is that the official name of the genre? Is Cookie Monster screamy death metal?
Pretty much. That's the official name of the genre.
It's something core.
Screamcore,
yeah, or something. It's yeah.
Point is, I hate it, but if you don't hate it, Growing has a new album, and you should buy the album because they are a good band made up of good young gentlemen.
Hmm. So, if we're done with the announcements, you haven't announced a date for the Wisconsin team championship.
Oh yeah, we solidified a day for the WITC.
I'm trying to vamp for Nate because he was not prepared to be looking up the date right now. So I'm trying to pass some time here. So look at this pig. Oh, audio listeners, you can't look at this pig, but
they can listen to the pig.
They can listen to the pig. Pig doesn't talk, though. So I'm going to go ahead and stop. Instead of that, I'm going to go pick up a dinosaur. The dinosaur can make noise for while Nathan's looking up the date. And hopefully he has a date by now.
Yeah.
He does not have the date by now, so... There we go. Are you ready?
Yeah.
I think it was in August.
No.
No?
It was July 28th.
July 28th?
July 28th.
July 28th.
Holy f- that's like 2 months. 3 months from now.
Yeah.
12 almost three.
Yeah. Almost three, but that's seems awful quick.
July 28th, the WITC. It'll be at the Elks Lodge like normal. Yeah. I accidentally was looking up the date for the ATC next year, and I'm like, January doesn't seem right for the WITC. That's what the delay was.
Sure.
You have to come.
I did pretty good vamping.
You vamped like a turkey. But yes, July 28th, if I remember what I just said correctly, I have to put my phone down. I am so fucking fried right now. I have had the worst goddamn week.
I hear you.
One of my supervisors at work just in the middle of his shift a few days ago just went, and just walked out.
Hmm.
That was bad. Because there's supposed to be three people working in that department, and there was him and then somebody who works like 6 hours a week, so they barely count. And so now there's fucking nobody.
So the dude just left?
Yeah, he just left.
Did he come back?
No, no. He just like left. He was done. he didn't want to work anymore, so he just left. It was great as they called me to come in and close because he was the only – there was the LOD and then him. And so he left, and so there was literally only the LOD there, which meant that he had to shut the store down because you're not allowed to have the store open by yourself for safety reasons. So he's like, hey, I've called every other employee. Nobody else can. Can you come back and help close the store? Which is great because I'd worked a 10-hour shift already and then had just gotten home, and luckily I've got a very short commute to work.
Yeah.
So it wasn't inconvenient at all to drive back to work.
Oh, that sucks.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow.
That's terrible.
The Marshall, point is, Marshall couldn't fill in the bill?
No, no. Marshall would have no interest or ability to cover that department. July 28th, WITC. I will probably be running it.
Is Travis playing in it this year, then?
Yeah, maybe. I don't know. It's like his... There's somebody's birthday, either his wife or his son's. There was a thing, and I was like, so don't come, but Travis can't come.
No, I think he's still coming.
I know he's coming. I told him not to,
yeah,
but he's still coming because he's Travis, and he can't not. So either he's going to run it and I'll play in it, or I'll run it and make him not show up or kick him out as soon as he shows up. I haven't decided yet.
I could be security.
Sure.
Dave and I will be playing in it. Yeah, Dave. Well, Dave and I, we could play security, and we could be the Viking squad, and we could take Travis out. We could Sean Eckert him right away. Like, as soon as he walks into the room, metal bar to the knee.
Two mice.
No, I will be playing in it, and we need everybody to show up because it is an awesome event.
Oh, that one's over there. Okay.
I'll have to brag for a moment because I'm defending my championship.
Ooh, I might play. I was going to make changes to my Rask list. And by changes, I mean one change. I was thinking about taking out Wrong-Eye and Snapjaw and trying Brunn and Lug because they're good and they're not in there. Wrong-Eye and Snapjaw do the whole we don't die because we just submerge in Starcross thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But man, countercharge plus return is such an aces combo. Especially that it's return.
I
know,
really like countercharge.
Yeah. Countercharge, and then with return, and return isn't even directly towards, so you can countercharge something and then wander off in another direction to like just surprise contest shit.
It's not even just a towards.
So Lug, when he returns, he has to return towards Brunn, but he might have started, like if they start sideways, you know what I mean? He can charge from 3 o'clock to midnight and then end at 10.
Sure. Makes sense.
If Brunn was at 9 to continue the visual. And that's pretty cool.
Yeah. I need to play more War Machine.
Yeah.
I mean, I need to only play in tournaments because since unretiring, I'm undefeated in tournaments and unfeated in casual play.
Yeah. That's really, really weird.
Or winless?
Winless.
No, I'm unfeated.
You're witless?
I am witless.
Do you have to go undercover as Amish?
Also one of those games.
Witness protection. I assume that's a movie.
No, Witness is.
Yeah. Oh man,
Harrison Ford.
How many people developed a fetish for Amish women after that movie came out? Because did they sexualize that as a concept? It's like what Lolita did for schoolgirls, right?
Oh, Jesus,
it is.
Yeah, I know it is, but you know. It's not a stereotype that we attach to you at all.
Well, not in a long time.
Not in a long time.
That running gag's been gone for a while.
Yeah, it has.
I mean, running gag. It's funny because it's true.
Well,
that it was a running gag.
Not that it was true.
I'm no Roman Polanski.
At least for 40 years.
I've never been caught.
Oh, Jesus. An announcement next week, the Academy kicks out Nathan Hoffman or Gordon Tremesco. Yeah. I guess we should probably jump over to Zappity Grumbles.
Do we have
anything else to talk about?
Shane York did one on the Twitter.
Yeah, I saw it.
Yeah, okay, so, good. Then I'll close it.
Yeah, look at that. I was on the ball already. I already had it going.
Woo! Did you see the thing that was Horton Hears a Woo? And it was just an elephant surrounded by a whole bunch of
Rick Flairs. I wish I saw that. I didn't see that. Seems awesome. So Shane York asked us if Mompoc, are you excited or meh?
For me, it depends entirely on how many people around here play.
Sure, sure. I mean, are you have you been checking out some of the models in that? Do the models excite you at all, or is it just more of you want to see if there's an audience in the area first?
If there's an audience, if the game has a tight rule set and is playable competitively, yeah, I'll play. Because that's really, I mean, honestly, most of my focus lately has been working on stuff for the Wisconsin Team Championship, because that's the next big event that I'm going to.
Sure, sure.
So I have been focused on that. We had sort of a warm-up team event in Iowa last week.
Mm-hmm.
And
who was the team? Was it you, Keith?
And Jake.
And Jake? Okay.
Yeah. We had a warm-up event in Iowa. It was a round-robin team tournament, and we swept all rounds, so I was happy with that.
I wonder if it would be kind of neat to do a team tournament where you put everyone into pods like that, mm-hmm. make them round robin. So you take four teams, put them so they fight each other, so you're getting three rounds that way, and then take the top seeds out of there and then seed them in an actual tournament.
That should work.
For like the next day or something like that. Yeah. I think it'd be interesting. Yeah.
No, I'm a really big fan of team tournaments, and I much prefer team tournaments to normal events.
Sure.
And I mean, a lot of that is because I think I like the way you build lists and build team composition a lot better for team events, because solo events are I don't want to say random, but there's a lot more stuff there. You have a lower tolerance for screwing up in list design, whereas correct. in a team event, you don't have to prepare for every single thing, and so if you run into a horrible matchup, either during player assignment during your team, either you try to dodge that or you just get thrown under the bus and hope your other teammates have more advantage matchups.
You have a little bit more control over your fate in the event as compared to where you just show up and pray to God that, you know, your two lists can handle whatever's out there.
Yeah. Because that's one of the things I think hamstrings a lot of pairs, is just that you have pairs that are perfectly fine lists, perfectly good to play. And just have this small number of lists. It's like, okay, if I run into this, I lose. And I like that in a team event, you can dodge that to some extent. Mm-hmm. There's a lot less. You have to win every game, and you have to be prepared for every game. It's just mostly you have to be really strong into a lot of things as opposed to win everything.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it ends up being better and creates better games and better matchups. So I love team tournaments. I'm really excited for the Wisconsin team tournament, and more listeners should show up and play us.
I am very excited for Monster Apocalypse.
I was just about to try to jump into it in the same way that you were. Yeah.
I will definitely buy the living shit out of Monster Apocalypse. I loved it so much. It's one of my favorite game mechanics in a miniatures game. The tactical flexibility of the dice pool. It was such a cool risk reward doing a big attack using a bunch of white dice versus if you just use one white die and use all your boost dice and red dice, you can do multiple activations in a row. Like, so much tactical flexibility with those dice pools. Plus, you were body slamming each other into fucking buildings and they were catching on fire and it was cool.
Were you body slamming? I remember.
I was body slamming. You weren't.
No, I remember people taking their stupid Zor Maximum and just shooting people into buildings with spikes and
we
then
didn't
running
run
away.
That bad here. Most of the people here in Madison, Epic Nate did, but we had a lot because, yes, I mean, that's true, but it wasn't like our meta. We were fortunate enough not to just have everybody was playing that.
Sure.
Like, people were playing the models they thought were cool.
Yeah.
You know, you were playing the Cthulhus. I was playing fucking dinosaurs and gorilla men and Martians. Yep. You know, we were playing stuff that was cool, and there was a lot of power attacking, slams especially, but it's such a good game.
I mean, I'm disappointed in the fact that I can't use the stuff that I've already used, that I already purchased and have. And I do know of some people in our area that have specifically said, they're like, F Mompoc, I'm never going to that game again. And it
really, I'm surprised by that.
Yeah, but there's people I've talked to about that. And I'm like, I'm not in that boat. I mean, that game was a lot of fun to play. I agree with you.
It still is, but
the mechanic of it, I'm very surprised when Monsterpocalypse went away that they didn't try to adapt that into something else, because it's a really neat mechanic. The board control was kind of neat too, where you had teleportation parts on there where you could bring in your troops. It's just a really cool game, and I'm very surprised it didn't.
And as for not being able to use your old stuff, I mean, it isn't tournament legal, but I can tell you that if there are, you know, like the howitzer apes, okay, one of the units for the giant monkeys was to like 20-foot tall apes carrying howitzers as side guns, which is fucking cool. If those are a unit in the game, and somebody wanted to play against me on a casual night and they had old school pre-painted plastic howitzer apes, okay,
I'd be fine.
I don't care.
I would honestly be fine if we start running local events for it. Definitely gets hard because there's so many fucking miniature games out there right now trying to fit in. Like, we couldn't run a single War Machine event in the entire month of May at Pegasus Games on Saturday because it was just so many booked other things, up all weekend.
Yeah, there was an event today, but nobody turned out because it was on Sunday, and Sundays are terrible days to run events.
The store is also closing 2 hours earlier than normal on Sunday. But like for a tournament, say if I'm running a Monpoc tournament, I would be more than happy to allow somebody to bring in, you know, have an effort into it. Like, they would pick up some stuff and then use some of the old stuff. I'd be happy with that.
Like, don't just bring all of the old stuff, but, you know, and maybe, like, I don't know, maybe not the monsters because they're the core piece. I don't know. Like, yeah, I understand there's a slippery slope there. But, like, technically, you buy the Iron Kingdoms Unleashed, like, adventure set, whatever, and it comes with a bunch of Pharaoh. Okay, if you want to use one of those guys, the razor boars in that box are technically not tournament legal in Hordes.
Correct.
They are razor boars.
Yep.
They're just plastic razor boars. They use the same mold. They're the same size, but they're technically not tournament legal.
It was the same.
Who gives a shit?
It goes the same thing with the Undercity's Crow's Cutthroats.
Yep.
If you didn't want to assemble your Crow's Cutthroats and want some nice pre-assembled cutthroats, you can just get those. I mean, they're not tournament legal because they're part of that set. But honestly, if you would take them, chop them off those plastic bases, put them on normal privateer normal bases, nobody's going to fucking tell.
And that's the effort, right? Because the base is the issue with the pre-molded ones, because the bases are technically like a millimeter smaller or something absurd like that.
No, I think they also are marked as well. They're smoother.
The reason why they aren't tournament legal, the functional reason that they aren't tournament legal isn't just the privateer wants to force you to buy models. They actually are on different, slightly different size bases. They're so they actually,
for that, game.
That has a game effect. Yep. So that I understand. So like chopping off those bases, putting them on real bases removes any reasonable objection to using those models because now they just are gross cutthroats. Yep. Same thing with Monpoc. If somebody took those howitzer apes and broke them off of the pre-made square that has all the iconography and put them on whatever size base the game's going to use.
They're going to be clear bases from what I understand. But, I mean, the scale of the models are a little bit bigger for this.
That's the issue. It's like, but again, whatever, man. Just come play a fucking game.
Yeah.
I mean, sure, you know, if you're going to go to Gen Con and play an official Monpoc tournament, you won't be able to. But if you're playing in Andy's basement, I don't give two fucks if you have an old howitzer base, an old Zor Maxim. I don't care if you bring nothing but an entire case of old school Monpoc and play by the new rules. Let's have a game.
Yeah, it's an amazing game. Like I said, I'm very surprised that wasn't adapted into like War Machine Epic or something like that, and just have Colossals running around fighting other people and using units with like the little battle engines and that.
Yeah, I'll be all in day one. Fucking in. I will buy everything available for. And I don't know how they're doing the waves, if they're going to do waves like they did the first time. I don't know if they're just keeping the factions and doing new models. I'm not sure. I haven't followed all the exact details of the Monpoc announcement. I don't know. Have you at all, David?
Not really.
They haven't really said that much other than it's really coming at Gen Con is one of the big things.
I'm curious if it's going to be the same initial five factions. And if they're going to release all the exact same models, and then those factions will be done, and then they'll do the next five factions within the same five agendas, you know, exactly how they did the first time. And then once they get to where they were, they'll just continue with that pattern and then get us five more factions, so each agenda has three factions, and continue that original pattern. Or if it's going to be more like War Machine, where they just have the factions and release more and more stuff for them.
I think from my understanding, for some of the rumors I heard, and I'll probably be wrong, so this will not be the first time they're wrong on this podcast, but I think the factions are expanded. So you will have the Sun Syndicate, I think, in the same... They're basically good guys, bad guys, in a way. So they have the Sun Syndicate, and they'll have guard models for you to be able to choose from, sure. For your side. So I think the agendas are staying... Or it's basically there's going to be more options, I think, available rather than just like, I'm just playing Cthulhu.
Right. Although remember, with the original game, you could play anything.
Yes, it just cost more to...
Anything that wasn't your faction, wasn't your agenda. Correct. Anything that wasn't your agenda costs double.
Yeah.
And so the Martians could bring along fish people, no problem.
Correct.
But if I wanted a Shadow Sun Syndicate unit, I had to pay double for it.
Correct. And the way the game was built, too, I mean, there was enough balancing. That's the word I was looking at. There was enough balancing where it didn't make it so, like, I had to get that one Cthulhu model onto my team. And he is worth even having at double price.
I mean, and more importantly, there wasn't a model that everyone wanted to pay double for. There wasn't like the Iris 2 situation where everyone wanted that fucking model. You would build a list and you're like, you know, that one gorilla has synergy with this list, so it's worth it.
Yeah.
You know, and that was a cool option to have. Like, just think about that in War Machine. Like, if you built a Signar list, and you're like, you know what? That one Grimkin model would be really good, so I'll pay double point cost for it.
Yeah. You kind of need to have for an allies, or some kind of ally contingent that you could throw into theirs.
Well, the thing with Montbach was it was literally anything. There was no restrictions to that. I would be curious how that would work in a tournament.
For War Machine?
Yeah.
To run it as an allies? Yeah.
Just run it
or
as
maybe,
you can.
Maybe
you
like
can
a quarter more expensive or something.
Well, fuck you, double.
Just double.
Better be worth it. Maybe 50% more. I don't know. Maybe we'd have to check. But
I don't know. At 50% more, I would take choir in every single list.
That is true. That is true.
Double. Well, I would take choir in a lot of lists.
Choir is one of those that I think we were planning on doing a Frankenstein list event. I don't think they actually ever. Mm. Made it. But yeah, I remember everybody local was talking about how they're all going to take choir.
I mean, it could be something like double. Units cost at least 5, but no more than 10 more points or something. So things like choir get comparatively more expensive. But yeah, I mean, there'd be a minimum slash. And then wait, like at some 20-point unit doesn't become 40 points.
Yeah, that's what I was sitting there thinking. It's like, oh, I want to take the... Oh, no.
Whatever. I'd figure it out. But it would be interesting.
Yep. All right.
I'm sure Andy's buying Montpak also. I'm sorry.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. If you haven't even get that vibe, yeah. I'm definitely picking up Montpak.
I'll probably be all in just with the number of people playing.
Yeah.
Sometime we should meet up at like Pegasus or something, and I can run you a demo with the old stuff, because I'm sure the new stuff will be 90% similar.
I'm hoping it'll be very close. I'm hoping that it's...
The pool mechanic.
Yeah. I'm really hoping that it's grid-based.
I think it is. I think they said that much.
Yeah. As long as it's grid-based, because I am starting to really like miniature games that have very, very tight measurements. That's kind of the only thing that's kind of stopped me from playing a lot of War Machine now is tape measures. They bug the crap out of me now. I play enough of Guild Ball where I'm able to lay down rulers onto the table all the time, put down proxy bases, and make sure I got very accurate measurements. And my opponent does the same thing.
We used to be able to do that in War Machine.
We did.
And then Jason Souls decided he didn't like it.
Yeah, I don't.
Yes, fuck Jason Souls.
I just got the notification of my Facebook memory of me posting a Morton Joe. with everyone, the big uproar about, because this was CID
yeah.
2017 yeah. last year, was with Morton Joe saying,
"Don't grow addicted to
your measurements and widgets, proxies."
Fucking hate.
Yeah.
Let's clumsily solve a problem that doesn't exist.
Yeah. I mean,
everyone was so happy with pre-measure and open. Like, not everybody. Everybody who wasn't an annoying shitbag was so happy about the ability to just pre-measure.
Well, right? I mean, I think mostly, everybody that wasn't obnoxious loved pre-measuring. I mean, I think Halley 3 is what created a sour taste.
Playing your entire turn out in imagination, and then...
It's your clock.
Yeah.
Your clock,
if you want to play your turn twice...
I agree with that.
Go ahead and clock yourself, yeah. right? It's your clock. It's the people who did proxy bases and then said, okay, and now we agree I do that. No. You measured all your proxies. Now measure it again.
Yep. Oh, yeah, yeah.
That's
yeah.
your punishment. Yeah. Like...
Although the final rule for that, you can have two widgets out, and then you can place a third one, but you immediately have to pick up one of the existing ones.
It's a better compromise. I mean, but it for me when I'm playing Guild Ball, it's just I'm measuring and putting things out, and I don't ever have to touch a tape measure again. It is War Machine. It's not as clean because not saying clean. I'm not trying to disparage it at all, but just saying the amount of widgets that you can use for lines in that, there's so many more models on the table. It's hard for you to get those super accurate measurements.
Yeah, honestly, I mean, that's the main reason I use tape measures is because I've got a set of widgets that I've got specific widgets to do the important measurements for my Harkovich list. But sometimes they don't, the density of models, sometimes it doesn't work.
Yeah, correct.
But I mean, I've got the widgets for the runs and the runs and the tramples to cloud walls and stuff for all the stuff I do. And it makes it fast and accurate to lay stuff out.
True story.
More people should do that. It's awesome.
What, have widgets for their movements?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Also, this is the other thing. If there are any aspiring game designers listening, if you are describing movement on a tabletop, do it front to back, not front to front, because it is a lot easier to measure and place widgets for if all of your movement values are in front to the front
and
to
just
back.
Let everything get that little extra movement every time, whatever.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, so you're talking about...
So something with a 1-inch base in War Machines, if it's speed 6, just make it speed 5, and then it's going the same distance. You can just measure from the front of it to the back of it.
Yeah.
Okay.
Because it'll have gone 6 inches because it's the 5 inches plus its own base size.
Or make it so that the units of the base size, and speed are comparable. Because when your base sizes are in millimeters and your movement is front to front in inches, you basically have to generate. I mean, it's a matrix of widgets for movement as opposed to just a list of distances.
You're trying to figure out like if somebody has reach over the top of another model because it's in inches, and you know, like,
well, even just being able to put down a rigid, you know, you can't take this model, put down a rigid stick and say he moved to here because now there's a stick under him.
Yeah.
If you measure from front to back, you just have him move to there.
No.
Yeah.
And I mean, part of the problem with, for War Machine is one of the big ones I have is a 12 inch.
Whoa.
Inch run.
Oh, sorry.
Yeah.
I just heard one of the big ones I have is a 12 inch and I was in. Yeah. Go on.
One of the big widgets I have is a 12 inch run, but it is literally labeled 12 inch large base front to back, because a 12 inch run for a medium size or a smaller base would be a different length because of it.
Sure.
And because the base sizes are in millimeters and the movement is in inches, I also can't just come out and say, okay, this one is 10 inches, and so it's a 12 inch run for a base that's 2 inches, because A, none of the bases are 2 inches, and all of the actual measurements are like 12 inches minus 50 millimeters sucks.
That is a true statement.
Yep. All right, so we should probably switch over to recommendations. Mm-hmm. Do you have any recommendations? You already did.
I already did a recommendation. Right. I have one I'm working on. I've only watched one episode yet, and I'm not sure it's good or not.
What episode?
Our early conversation. for our earlier conversation, I will heartily recommend listening to the 40-year anniversary remastered version of Jethro Tull's Aqualung.
It's a great album.
It is a great album, and the remastering brings out a lot of things without seriously changing things. It sounds better, the 40-year anniversary version. So if you're familiar with it, if you're familiar with the album, check out the 40-year version. It is one of the few remasters I actually really like. If you're not familiar with it, listen to it. It is a fantastic album and, in my view, one of the classic rock albums.
That is true.
I'm supposed to give a recommendation. I don't have any that I can think of right now.
I'll stall for you with a tentative. It's not official. I might come back. I will come back to this next week with either official recommendation or recanting. Korean variety shows are amazing, as we've previously discussed with things such as The Genius. On Netflix, they currently have one called Busted, which they release 2 episodes every Sunday. The first ones just came out, or every Saturday maybe? Yes, Saturday, because the first ones just came out yesterday. They're hour and a half long episodes, so it's 3 hours every 2 weeks. But, Into the Badlands is a good recommendation from chat. Anyway, it is like watching a half dozen Korean celebrities solve a murder mystery dinner party with escape room puzzle elements. It was very interesting. I've only watched the first episode so far because, like I said, they're an hour and a half, and so it's a bit of a time investment last night, and I worked early this morning, so I didn't stay up for the second episode. But it was very entertaining. A lot of the stunts were good. They were funny, the vamping and everything. It is dubbed, or it is subtitled, if that bugs people, but grow up, learn to read. But the only reason I'm hesitant is that this first episode very obviously had scripted portions versus just being an actual, like, they didn't know what was going on and they solved the mystery or whatever. And so I'm curious if that's just because it was the pilot and they were setting it up for future episodes. So I'm going to watch the second episode tonight after I watch Westworld. And next week I will let you know if my reservations are correct or if it is good. Was that long enough, Andy? That was a pretty long stall.
Yeah. My recommendation is one that I thought I would never say.
Uh-oh.
Stabbing yourself in the eyes.
No. Well, some people might think that you should do this rather than watch this. Fear the Walking Dead. The newest season is actually really good. It's scary. I think it's got like a 90-some% on Rotten Tomatoes for the new season. I mean, it's been steadily getting better, but this season alone has taken it to a whole new level there. I think like almost every episode so far this season has been 100% on Rotten Tomatoes, which is scary to think because that show was on par with if you're going to walk out forever now, we're almost done with the podcast. Sure. A Z Nation. I mean, in the terms of like they're trying to make a really quality product.
I will agree that Fear the Walking Dead and Z Nation were equally good shows. It's just one of those shows knew it sucked.
Correct.
And that's critically important.
Yeah.
I like Z Nation because Z Nation's like, yeah, I suck. And
yeah, right now it's
I'm at least going to suck interestingly.
It's a 96 on Rotten Tomatoes with a 92% audience like score.
Wow.
Which like I said, is that show was pretty much the it's almost better than the last one. Yeah. There's the 3 episodes, 100%, 86 and 100%.
Wow.
Wow.
I was just going to click not interested.
Oh, not on my phone. But yeah, it's only 3 episodes into the season though, but it's it could get worse though.
It's always a chance.
But yeah, and that's pretty much it for our podcast. We're going to try to see if we can set up another poll soon here to try to do the figure out what kind of movie Pain Train we're going to do. So we've got to figure out a quick time to do that. I think probably even maybe an afternoon before we podcast. Or a Saturday might be better.
I like Drunk Faction reviews.
Drunk Faction? Well, that happens anyway. Yeah. That's something we should definitely start.
Yeah.
Start rolling those out eventually.
I can get caught up on Minions and Convergence.
Let me choose a faction. So I was doing Kador, but I'm so far behind Kador, I don't play any of the Armor Core stuff.
And they just had a CID, so you'd have to refresh yourself.
Well, yeah, they just released all the CID stuff.
CID kind of sucked, though.
Yeah. Yeah. It's got some ridiculously awesome models.
Well, it's got, I mean, the Armor Core stuff.
Is polished up the Man of War stuff to make it not terrible.
The Man of War stuff is good, but they nerfed Marauders and Juggernauts, which showed up in 80% of Kador lists.
So, maybe that's why they nerfed them.
Yeah, but I mean, it's now that all of those lists are worse. And Kador was generally considered on the bad side of faction balance.
Sure. Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, I'm not saying. I mean, there was a problem with Kador Jack selection, and given the overall performance of Kador, I don't think you could really claim that the problem was that Kador Jacks were too good. It was just that only these two Jacks were good.
Yeah.
Only these three Jacks were good, because honestly, I think Kodiaks are now the best Jack Kador has.
Yep. All right. So I guess we'll call it next week. Nathan's got his housewarming thing, and then we'll hopefully record after that.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah.
We just bought a new bed for the guest bedroom, and we just were cleaning out the storage locker and found a hideaway bed. So now I have a queen and two twins in various guest bedrooms. And the point is, there's plenty of room for people to get drunk and crash in my house Saturday night.
Sure. Enough room to make some puke angels that Nathan will find, you know, a week later.
Yeah, please do so in the basement. It's not wood.
All right. Thanks, guys, for watching. Right. We'll catch you next week.
One of my monkeys wields a train as its weapon, and he has beat back, and he just hits people with trains. And it's like seven or eight cars, so it's like nunchucks.
Yeah.